Let's pause and seek the Lord's help before we open His Word together. Father, it is so good to be with Your people, singing Your praise, seeking Your face, and it's because of who You are. Lord, we want to know You better. We want to grow in our relationship with You. We want to receive more of You, more blessings from You. We want to enjoy Your presence today. So as we open Your holy word, give us ears to hear what You, and give us ears to hear Your heart toward us, that we would know Your love, Your grace, Your kindness. Lord, be at work. Open by Your Holy Spirit, open our hearts, our minds to You, that we would receive not just information, not just truth about You, but we would receive You. We ask it in Jesus, Your mighty name. Amen. Today we're looking at number 6, Yahweh's blessing on His people. That's the end of Numbers chapter 6. This is probably the most well-known and most often quoted part of the whole book of Numbers. Where we are in the story, God has set His people free from slavery by mighty acts of deliverance. He brought them to the foot of the mountain where He would meet with them, instruct them what it means to be a people in relation with a holy God. God's holy presence in thunder and lightning and smoke and cloud and thick darkness was so terrifying that the people requested that Moses go between them and God as a mediator in Exodus 20. But while Moses was on the mountain receiving God's instructions, the people were down with Aaron breaking the commandments, making gods of gold and worshiping them. Yahweh's anger was kindled, but Moses prayed for the people, and God extended grace and mercy, promised to go with them, promised to be their God, to take them to be His people, allow them to make a tent for Him to dwell among them. And by the end of Exodus, the tent is complete. The glory of Yahweh has filled the tabernacle. And in Numbers, the military-aged men are counted. That's chapter 1. The tribes are organized, chapter 2, around God's tent. The families of the tribe of Levi arranged immediately around God's tent, guarding God's tabernacle, guarding the people from God's holy wrath. Numbers 5 and 6, the camp is cleansed. The unclean are put out. Reconciliation is to be made when one sins against another and ultimately against the Lord. Covenant faithfulness is to be jealously guarded. Those who take voluntary vows are to fulfill what they speak, to do what they promised. And at the end of chapter 6, we find this blessing. Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, 'Thus you shall bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them, Yahweh bless you and keep you. Yahweh make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Yahweh lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. So shall they put My name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them.'" A few things to notice about this blessing. It's initiated by God Himself. This is not in response to anything that the people have done. It's not a response even to a request for God to bless them. Yahweh spoke to Moses, gave him words to put in the mouth of Aaron with which to bless His people. This is all at the initiation of God. Yahweh God desires to bless. We see His heart here. His heart is to bless, to bless his people. Back in Genesis 1, when he created mankind, God blessed them. Be fruitful, multiply, fill, subdue, have dominion. After the flood, the Lord blessed Noah and his family in Genesis 9. In Genesis 12, Yahweh said to Abram, go from your country, from your kindred, from your father's house, to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. God's heart is to bless. His desire is to bless his people. And he initiates that blessing. And his blessings, they're not earned. They're not deserved. He does not promise blessing. He does promise blessing to the righteous and curses to the wicked. There are blessings promised for obedience and curses for disobedience. But often his blessings are what we might call random, spontaneous, unsolicited, unwarranted. God's blessings are all of grace. We don't deserve his blessings. When the Lord gave his blessing to his people in number 6, they'd already experienced an outpouring of God's amazing grace. As we saw in Exodus chapter 32, no sooner had the people agreed to the covenant, to this covenant relationship with God, no sooner had they promised their obedience to God's commands, did they prostitute themselves to other gods. Moses prayed, God in his amazing grace forgave them, came to live among them. Now after the golden calf, now after Nadab and Abihu disobeyed God and were destroyed, God did not leave them, God did not forsake them. He made his presence known among them. And in amazing grace, he blesses them. The story of Numbers is a story of repeated disobedience, repeated failure, repeated rebellion, and still God continued to bless far beyond what they deserved. God's blessing is all of grace. We don't deserve it. We could never earn it. We do plenty to warrant his withdrawal from us, yet still he blesses us. Let's look at this blessing. There's an introductory command to bless the people, a concluding confirmation of his blessing on his people, and in the middle, a three-part blessing. The first part, Yahweh bless you and keep you. To be blessed, what does that mean? Means simply to be what you were created for, to successfully realize your purpose, what you were meant for, to find that fulfillment, to be fruitful. The Lord who created us knows best how we will be most fulfilled, most satisfied, most filled with joy, true joy. Blessing. What we were meant for. Now, Jesus gave some unexpected teaching on true fulfillment. Matthew 5, he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, the humble, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted For righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely in my name, on my account. Rejoice and be glad when you're persecuted. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. God's blessings may come to us in some very unexpected ways. The Lord bless you and keep you. Psalm 121 says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from? My help comes from Yahweh, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Yahweh is your keeper. Yahweh is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. Yahweh will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. Yahweh will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. The Lord is our keeper, the one who watches over us, who guards us, protects us, preserves us. He is able to keep us from threats both without and within. Jude ends his short letter in the New Testament with this doxology. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. Our God is able to keep us. Yahweh make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The second part of this blessing. What does it mean to make his face shine upon you? Imagine walking through a crowded place, maybe the airport. Some people in conversation, some just blankly looking down, looking ahead, waiting in line. You see an old friend, someone you were close to, someone you haven't seen in a long time. You wave to get his attention. Hi, Jack! Jack looks around, makes eye contact, squints his eyes a bit, straining to recognize you. Imagine his blank expression doesn't change. He slowly turns and just goes back to whatever nothing he was doing. How do you feel? But imagine instead, as he squints, his face lights up with recognition. He breaks into a broad smile. He says your name. It's so good to see you. It's been so long. How are you doing, my friend? I think this is something like that. The Lord's face lights up with recognition when he looks at you. He knows you. He delights in you. His face illumines our darkness. Even Moses, after the Lord answered his prayer, after he promised his presence to be with his people, Moses prayed, please show me your glory. The Lord answered, I will make my goodness pass before you. I will declare to you my name, but you cannot see my face. For man shall not see me and live. And yet Isaiah prophesied in Isaiah 60, "Arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of Yahweh has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, thick darkness the peoples, but Yahweh will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you, and nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising." John says this of the one who was with God and the one who himself was God. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. No one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known. John 8, again Jesus spoke to them saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Jesus said, "Whoever has seen me has seen the Father." 2 Corinthians says this, "God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. God's grace, that's a kindness we don't deserve. What we deserve is God's anger, God's wrath. The greatest gift we could never deserve is the gift of his presence, his face shining on us in kindness. Ephesians 2 says, "God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his kind grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. So that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his kindness, his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It's a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." God's grace is not our own doing. It's not a result of works. It's not what we deserve. It's a gift. This gift, the immeasurable riches of God's grace and kindness toward us, it comes to us in Christ Jesus. Yahweh make his face to shine upon us and be gracious to us. Yahweh lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In judgment, the Lord says he will set his face against a person or a city to cut off for harm and not for good. I set my face against you to lift up his face, to lift up his countenance upon you. That's the opposite of that. His face not set against us in judgment, the judgment that we deserve, but rather lifted up in favor toward us. Psalm 4. There are many who say, "Who will show us some good? Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Yahweh. You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. In peace I will both lie down and sleep, for you alone, Yahweh, make me dwell in safety." The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, shalom, wholeness, completeness, fullness, fulfilled, satisfied, safe, rest. Jesus said, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle, lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden light. Romans says, therefore, since we have been justified, declared not guilty, by faith, simply by trusting in Jesus, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. God's blessing, God's face shining on us, God's face lifted toward us to preserve us, to give us grace, to give us his peace. Romans says, grace to you. Most of Paul's letters begin this way. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 8 says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his only son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Number 6, verse 27 says, so shall they put my name on the people of Israel, and I will bless them. It is through this threefold blessing that Yahweh's name is put on his people. Israel bore the name of Yahweh. They enjoyed his blessing. They received his grace. They experienced his peace. And his name, his character, his reputation were connected with his people. They represented him. And then when they misrepresented him, by living inconsistent with his character, Ezekiel 36, God says, therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, I am about to act, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations to which you came. Israel bore the name of Yahweh in this threefold blessing, and they misrepresented him. Jesus commissioned his followers in Matthew 28, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Today we, you and I, believers, followers of Jesus, bear the name. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Let's pray. Father, thank you for being a God who is eager to pour out blessings on us. Thank you that you are gracious and merciful, patient, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness. And yet you are absolutely just and holy and righteous and will by no means let the guilty go unpunished. Thank you that you punished Jesus, your perfect Son, in my place, so that your justice is satisfied and your mercy and grace, your peace, can be poured out on sinners like me, so that we can enjoy your presence, your face, shining on us, not in anger and wrath as we deserve, but in favor and kindness and mercy and love. What a treasure we have in the gospel. Help us to treasure it rightly today. It's in Jesus, your mighty name, that we pray. Amen. I'm going to invite some of our men to come and prepare to serve communion. This is our time to remember, to reflect on the gospel, to treasure the gospel together, to say, this is what I deserve. Jesus' body was broken in my place for my sins. His blood was poured out as a payment for my sins, for your sins on the cross. He took my place. He was the Lamb of God that takes away my sins. And he wants to bless us. He says, come. Come. Stop striving. Stop trying. Stop working. Stop making an effort to earn my favor. My favor is a gift. It's grace. We did nothing to earn it. We could do nothing ever to be worthy of it or to repay it. We are unworthy recipients of the greatest gift, the gift of God's presence, his favor, his face. Today, as we reflect on the gospel, this is a gift available to each one simply for the asking. If you have never received this gift, take time right now, cry out to God and say, I'm a sinner. I recognize what I deserve. I don't want what I deserve. I would rather have the gift that you give, your grace, your favor. Yes, put my sin on that cross so that Jesus paid for it in full. Take me. Wash me clean. Make me new. Welcome me. I would love to be yours, to belong to you. Simply cry out to him, be merciful to me, a sinner. I know what I deserve. I don't want that. I want your grace instead. He loves to pour that out on every sinner who calls on the name of Jesus, on the name of the Lord. We'll serve you if you're a believer in Jesus. Take bread, take juice, reflect on the sacrifice that was made on your behalf. Once we've all been served, we'll give him thanks and take that together. Father, thank you that you are merciful, gracious, eager to forgive. You want to bless your people. Help us to be those that simply humble ourselves to receive your blessing. Thank you, Jesus, that what I could never do, you did. You paid my price in full. And today, because of your finished work on the cross, you welcome me in, no longer a sinner, now a saint, cleansed by your blood. Transformed by your Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. We receive a gracious gift from your hand. His body broken for you. Take and eat. His blood poured out to wash sinners clean. Drink.